Folks, as I have said many times, obituary of Pakistan, which was written in 1971, is being repeated again, and soon we will see a country divided like Yugoslavia. In case of Yugoslavia, we probably did not had problems from it because each area was divided according to its ethnicity, and then the borders of those areas were easy to protect. Because the warring parties, they accepted the division and they started living in peace, and now we see that there is no issue in Balkans. This is the same area where two world wars started. But ultimately it was the intelligence of President Clinton who realized that this issue had to be settled once for all, and he bombed Yugoslavia to hell and make it surrendered, and then the country were divided. Similar situation is in Pakistan. The ethnic rivalry is getting serious, it is getting dangerous, and there is a strong likelihood that a civil war will start, and then the final paragraph of the obituary of a country which could have been a reasonable country, not a great country, not a place where you are proud to live, but at least they could survive and they could live in peace, which has been denied by this third class Interpol GSQ gang and the Mullah groups around them. This is the most unfortunate country where smart people, civil people, were never allowed to run the country. They were always under the threat of these bastards, these generals, who don't want to lose the power and the free plots they got for no reason. It is really unbelievable that we, the perks we give to these generals, is really, it's a crime against the country. No country in the world gives free plots to their generals, whereas they are doing exactly what they are supposed to do. They are professional army, they are saving the borders, and they have nothing to do with the civil affairs of the country. I mean, an example of India is before us, which has evolved from a poor third world country to a progressive superpower, where the whole world is looking at it as a bastion of democracy, as a bastion of civilized living, and as a bastion of great civilization. India had been in turmoil for almost, 800 years, since the Muslims started attacking that area, invaded it, took it over, and then did nothing but making harams, palaces, and mosques. There is not even a single achievement of Muslim era in India. But then the lottery struck and we saw British coming in, and they changed their country for good. They made sure that no attacks are made from Iran or Afghanistan or any Central Asian idiots, and the borders are secured. They did so for more than 150 years. Their time, their coming, was a blessing in disguise. People in India did not realize, and even today, at least 70% of Indians don't realize how blessed they were when the Britishers came to India. They brought civilization, civic living, rule of law, judiciary, independent legislature, and a national army, which safeguarded the borders against any invader. all the internal kings and nawabs and kings were sidelined, and they had pension, and they were living happily ever after. But they had no influence. If they commit a crime, they face the same punishment as a poor guy. That was the idea of civilization Britishers had, and India adopted it fully. While in Pakistan, which was again a blessing by British to Indian Muslims, who were very poor, intellectually very low IQ, and had no sense of technology or science, because their leaders and the mullahs were against science, because their religion tells them, ye duniya to shay hi koi nahi, mere nabi sa hai hi koi nahi. I mean, that stupid guy from Arabia, who was hated by his own people, became the top most important personality in Pakistan, and thereby Pakistan went into downhill and is about to be destroyed, because the mullahs are very low IQ, GSQ generals are slightly better but still low IQ, but they both destroyed a reasonable country. And if I have said many times that if we look into the time of 1947, when Pakistan was liberated or given on a plate by Qaid-e-Azam, we see that we had excellent cultural system in the country. We had the Indus civilization, we had the Punjabi civilization, we have Sikh civilization, we had Hindu civilization. They were all living together in peace. There was no animosity. Until these mullah gang, they created trouble. They killed Sikhs, and that killing spree spread throughout the India and Pakistan, and we see almost 1 million people vanished from this barbarism. Again, it started by Muslims, because the Hindus, they wanted to live in Pakistan. They were not planning to migrate to India. They thought they are now living in a country where they are free. But then the shit of religion totally enslaved them. Not only enslaved them, it enslaved the whole Muslims of Pakistan. Because Islam is an ideology which totally put you in a shell from where even your hairs have no right. You cannot show your hairs. You cannot cut your beard. Women have to control every piece of hair they have. I mean, there's so much barbarism on Muslims themselves that it's unbelievable. The minorities, most of them, they left. They went to Western countries. They went to India. Hindus went to India in droves, and they lived in India very peacefully. And you will be surprised that those migrants from Pakistan, they migrated to overseas as well, and are the shining star of India. Many of the American top corporations, the heads are Indians, and they are from Sindhi Indians, which migrated to India from Pakistan. This is how great they were. And if we had kept the same system, the same culture, the same understanding, which is the basis of Indo-Pakistan during British time, we could have seen a better Pakistan. Imagine those great, those big senior executives of American corporations today, they could have been from Pakistan. Because the Qaid-e-Azam basically said, you have to educate, you have to have discipline, you have to give right to your woman if you want to be a strong country. But unfortunately, we try to make our woman Fatima and Zainab and Khadija and all that nonsense, and then took away all their rights. I mean, imagine a Shia Mullah is claiming that this world time was stopped when one hair of Fatima came out of her head cover. I mean, that stupid guy has no idea that there was no head cover back then. There was shortage of cloth. People have no cloth to even cover their bodies until Muhammad came to Medina and started attacking other neighbors and took over their material, their cattle, their horses, you name it. Then there was some little wealth came, but that also took years. Only after when the empire expanded to Iran and Syria and other places, that they became rich. Before that, they were very poor. No woman was covering its head. The covering of head is the shit of 20th century. There was no such shit before 20th century when Wahhabism came to Saudi Arabia and Khomeini came to Iran. In Iran, every woman had her hairs open. Now, every woman has to cover. And if a woman don't cover, like as happened last couple of months ago, they hit her head so hard on the ground that he died. She went in coma and died after 2 weeks. This is how barbaric this religion is. This is how stupid this religion is. This is how insensitive, how have no idea of the world this religion is. And because in this religion, the mullah has the balls of every Muslim, and the king and caliph has the head of every Muslim, we see that there is no freedom of expression in Muslim society, and Pakistan is a prime example of it. I mean, imagine a schoolboy, which is like 15, 16, he write F word before Muhammad, and then he is put in jail. I mean, Muhammad is the name of almost every third or fourth kid. So maybe that F was about one of his friends whose name was Muhammad. But you can't imagine that the nation could be so dumb, so stupid. I mean, imagine a medical representative visits a doctor and then he gives his business card to him, talk to him about something he was trying to sell, and then he saw that when he was leaving, the doctor put his card in garbage and his name had a Muhammad. So he went to police and he said he had done blasphemy. This is how stupid the law of blasphemy is. And that doctor was arrested, and then later the case went on for years. This is how senseless, how brain dead the Pakistani nation has become. That is why we saw 2 weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, a woman written Halwa, which means beautiful, in her dress, was about to be killed before a police guard came, police group came, and they saved her. This is what happens to a nation when you enslave it with a stupid religion, which has no idea of human rights, which has no democracy, as you can see. I mean, there are some mullahs who will say, oh, the guard advised negotiation or discussion. Stupid, democracy and negotiation is something else. This, if you claim that your religion is good, then it should have evolved. You should have evolved some system where the people can vote, like the West has done, and done wonders with it. Or you should have given the right of vote to women. I mean, the situation is so stupid in Pakistan that you can see on TV men saying, if the women go, our women go for voting, we will kill them. This is what the standard of human rights is in Pakistan. The point is there has been any country today or even in the past which is so much engulfed and enslaved its citizen in the shit of religion and can still progress? I mean, there was a barbaric time, there were dark ages where the kings and caliphs, they used to use poor as war fodder, tell them this is jihad fi sabilillah and Allah is going to give you 72 huris and everything free after death, and then establish their empire. Yes, it did. Every empire has its origin starting from religion or faith. Whether it was Alexander the Great, whether it was Roman Empire, whether it was Arab Empire, Mongol Empire. I mean, Mongol Empire, we can see at least they had a part of faith in it, where the Khan claimed that God came in his dream and told him, you are the king of the world, and that is how it has to be. So accept ourself as your king, and then you can live your life peacefully. But other faiths like Christianity or Islam, or they particularly indulged in converting the local people, in forcing them to convert to Islam, because they did not give any right to minorities or conquered people unless they convert to their religion. Christianity did the same thing and was very successful. So were Muslims. But the disadvantage with Islam was that the Arabs were ready to convert but were not ready to share the power. They always claimed that no, we are superior, and there is a Muhammad saying that my family is superior in Arabs and Arabs are superior than others and all that nonsense. So ultimately we saw that these religions, they brought the mullahs. The Christianity brought pastors and clergies, and Islam brought mullahs and imams and all that nonsense, which worked with the caliphs and the killers, the kings, whoever that was, and were working as a spy center. In Muslim world, it's known that two places were the spy center. One is the house of the prostitutes, and the other was the mosque. And the mullahs were actually in the forefront when it comes to espionage or knowing what everybody else wanted to do or what plans are being made against the caliph. In many cases, they were also instigators, just to make sure to see what the interior motive of a person is. And then they will report to king, and then king will reward them and eliminate that threat. That is why the style of insurgency changed in Muslim societies. The people were advised not to go to prostitutes and also not to go to mosque of other sects, because many sects evolved in Islam, and then they designated this is Sufi, this is what you call it, Sunni, this is Shia, and all that nonsense. In that fight on power, the most successful were the Ismailis, who were using drug and religion to motivate their people, and who were actually the assassins for hire. They are known to assassinate anybody they think could be a threat. Even if somebody was not a threat, they will get in his inner circle and then get him killed. this was their pastime back then, without knowing whether the guy is a threat or not. So they established some control in Iran, they established control in Egypt, and that was their main tactic. But again, the religion was the main function of their operation. They always use religion and drug to kill people. But then the time changed, and the other faiths like Christianity, it realized that we have to give up this shit of religion and let people decide. And then after Magna Carta, we saw the improvement in European culture, particularly the educated societies like British, like German, like France and other places, and they excelled. At one time they were ruling two-thirds of the world, and they deserve it because they had a system outside religion where they gave right to their people, where they treated everybody equal. They created nationalist governments, and thereby together they conquered area after area. And wherever they went, they spread the same message. Imagine if the British had come to UK, they don't have to bring democracy. They could have kept the same system. The Queen can and the King could have come and ruled India and have a lot of harems. They could have a lot of Indian girls in their harems. And they can do all that nonsense which Muslim invaders and later kings did. But they had an ideology. Their ideology was human right, respect of life, and live within the law. Nobody was above the law. Whereas in Muslim societies and Islam, the caliph is the law. The mullah is the law. The powerful who has sword is the law. If he committed something, he will never be punished. That is why disparity only created depression and mental bankruptcy in Muslim societies, and they could never come out. After Pakistan, Qaid-e-Azam had thought that with the freedom, they will be able to excel, they will open their brain, and they will follow science and human rights, they will give right to women and all that. But the shit of Islam, it took away every right they had. And the women were free without any head cover. They were using jeans. They were eating whatever they like, whatever they want to drink. But then everything collapsed in Pakistan when the shit of religion was forced. Was forced on the society, and then we saw everything going downhill. And today we have a country which has no hope, which only produces kids to export out overseas so they can send some money back. And we are only creating slaves for the world. And those slaves, after so much hard work, when they bring some idea, they tell the government to bring democracy, to give them voting right, the country does not allow it. Because the corrupts are ruling, the bastard generals are ruling, and the country has no law and no constitution. That is why the final obituary of the country is about to be written. There is no way there can be any improvement. Think about it. God bless.